Songs to sing. I just can't hardly get through it without feeling what Jesus went through when he died on that cross. And I think that's what today is all about. We talk about the crucifixion of Jesus, and in the midst of that, you know, there's a lot of questions that come up about it. You know, because I don't know, but why did he have to die? Why did Jesus have to die? You know, couldn't there have been another way? You know, how does it relate to us? How does it affect us? What does it do for us? And there's a multiple of other questions that I know people ask, but the two main reasons that we're going to look at is, why did Jesus have to die? And what does it do for me? So, I'd like to take a moment and just have a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts for this. Father, we come before you to seek your voice, to seek your wisdom, your knowledge. Lord, as we look into your word, it is your word. And it's to us that you have given your word. It is for us to be challenged, to be rebuked, to be brought into your kingdom. It is the power that you have placed upon it that we seek. And I pray that as we look into it, that you open our hearts and open our ears. Let us hear your words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus had to die because of mankind's sin. So, firstly, I want us to go to Genesis. Now, you know, we know the creation story, pretty much, most of us. Chapter 2, and it's page number 3, actually, in your pew Bibles. Genesis chapter 2, and starting in verse 15. So, Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" I want you to notice that this all happened before Eve was created too. So, women, you know, you got one over on us here. The thing is that the man was placed in the garden. He had one rule, one thing that he was not supposed to do. Everything else he could do. Is it like humankind? I mean, now it's like humankind for sure because we have sin in our lives now. But you know, you bark something that says, "Don't walk on the grass," and what do people do? You know, there's a pastor that told me about this one college he went to, and he had to go under the road in this tunnel, and on this, there's pipes, you know, for various reasons, and they were wrapped in a insulation, and it said, "Don't dent the insulation," and you know what happened. There's dents all over it. You know, so it's kind of like mankind's thing, you know, and God created Adam with free will. He created us all, mankind, with free will. He's given that to us. We're in the image of God. And so Satan comes along and deceives them, and they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So because of one couple's sin, because they were the beginning of mankind, sin came into the world. I want us to look at Romans chapter 6 now, 17:15 in your pew Bible, 17:15. Romans chapter 6. In this we see that those sins passed on to everyone. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, the wages of sin, just like God said, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Back up to chapter 5, verse 12. Got to go one more page. There we go. "Therefore, Just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death comes to all men because all sin. So we don't escape it. But, you know, I think if I were going to be honest, that we could all yell out to God, it's not fair. It's not fair. I mean, Adam and Eve were the ones that sinned. Let them pay for it. Why should I pay for what was done by them? It's not fair. I didn't eat the fruit. I didn't do it. Satan knew it all too well that all he had to do was infect one. We have that illustration quite bold in our humanness, because we know now about genetic defects. If you have a genetic defect, it's passed on. Just like an infection is passed on. Remember the bubonic plague and some of those other plagues. Influenza even was a problem. Mumps and smallpox and measles and all those things are passed on. It's not fair. I didn't do anything. Why do I get it? Well, that's the way it is. When sin entered the world, it entered mankind. And so God had to do something to correct it. You know, and we all look to God. We say, well, you know, fix it. Make it right. You know, Adam and Eve did it. Now, make it right. And Jesus did. Because he came here to this earth. I want us to look at Philippians chapter 2, 1785. In your pew Bible, 1785, Philippians chapter 2. Start with verse 6. Talking about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus left heaven. You know, this is a mind blower, because, you know, Jesus is in heaven and, you know, it's glorious. No pain, no suffering, eternal, nothing to worry about, no issues up in heaven. And then sin comes into the world. Now, this plan was made all the way before creation, because God already knew what was going to happen, as he does. So the question comes up, too, why didn't he just stop it? You know, don't put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Garden of Eden, you know? I mean, get the chainsaw out, cut it up. You know, knock it down. Get rid of it. But no, that wouldn't be right either. We all have to have free will, free choice. We cannot be like robots, you know, packed around. You know, this is what our government's trying to do. They make a law every time something happens. How many of us, when we were little kids, had seatbelts? You know, I know we never had. We'd lay in the back by the window, you know, the back of the car. We'd lay there. And you know, we jumped all over the place. I mean, our parents didn't like that, but you know, I was a bouncy kid. I was kind of hyper, and we didn't have. And then riding bicycles. Do you ever have a helmet, or elbow pads and knee pads and all that stuff? You know, I learned the hard way. My dad said, "Don't ride your bicycle without shoes." And I did it without shoes. I had flip flops on, or they called them thongs back then. All you people go, thongs. No, that's what they called them back then. Okay? So we're wearing those things, and then my foot got caught under the pedal against the road. I lost part of my toe from that, and I learned, I'm going to wear tennis shoes from now on. But I fell lots of times on the ground. Nothing there to catch me. You know, you've seen the commercials where the girl, the mom is going to send her child outside to go play, and she has them wrapped in bubble wrap. She didn't want anything to happen to him. You've seen that. God could have done that, sure. He could have made us thick-skinned and steel-boned and everything else, but where would the niceness be in that? I mean, I like the way He created us. But you know, He's not going to protect us from every little single thing because we have choice. We have decisions to make, free will. He's given us a brain. Isn't that amazing? He's given us a brain to think. You know, I remember Jonathan, he'd do something wrong, and I'd say, "You know better than that. Why'd you do that?" And he'd go, "I don't know." You've heard that from your kids. "I don't know." But you have a brain. You can make decisions. You know what's right and wrong. You know what you should do and you shouldn't do. But you know what we do? We go do it. We like to do it. Because, like the grass, like the, you know, don't do that. And we like to do it. So God, He placed in His Word, He told us all about the things that could happen. And He wrote them all down for us. And He says it right out. You do this, this is going to be the consequence. That there are consequences to our action. Well, we can scream, "It's not fair," all day long. Well, so could Jesus. Jesus could say, "It's not fair." Look at Hebrews chapter 10, 18:31 in your pew Bibles. 18:31 in your pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 1, 18:31. It says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, I can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship." In other words, let me define that a little bit. I can go all year long, day after day, to the temple and give sacrifices of animals to God, and it's not going to make me perfect. It's not going to clear my sin. So it says in verse 2, "If it could, would they not have been stopped being offered?" In other words, you know, if that could take away sin, I'd just go and offer one time and it'd be done, right? And I'd be good. But it can't. So for the worshipers, would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." Talking about Jesus. "With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" That's Jesus talking. He volunteered to come to this earth because He saw sacrifices, burnt offerings, all those things, they didn't satisfy God. Well, we can ask, why in the world was a death required? Well, that was the law. You know, God follows the law. Now, it may be a law that was written by Him, but it was a law nonetheless. There has to be rules and regulations. I remember going out in the street and we played street ball. And you know, you'd hit the ball and you'd do this and do that, and then somebody would say, "Hey, you're cheating." And so, that's in the rules. What rules? We made up rules as we went. We didn't have any rules written down. But now, in our world today, we have baseball and basketball and all these other things, and they got rules. I mean, rule books. And everybody has to follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, you're disqualified, kicked out of the game, penalized, whatever it might be. But God is the same way. He made rules. It's called the law. And the law tells us what is acceptable and what is not. When it was the Garden of Eden, He told them, don't eat of the knowledge of good and evil, or you're going to die. Now, he wasn't talking solely about physical death, although that was included. He was talking about sin and a separation from God, that relationship between he and mankind would be split. That would be death. And then later on, yeah, you're going to age and you're going to die. Now, Adam may not have thought so because 930 years of life. But I want to tell you, 930, 980, 1,000, 50, 80, 90, you're all going to die. That is the law. And so God had to fix it. And Jesus Christ knew exactly what needed to be fixed because he, being God in the flesh, he said, you prepared a body for me and I'm here. It's written about me in the scroll. But you know, when he sat in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember what he said? Father, let this cup pass from me. But your will be done. I'll do what you want. He didn't like it any more than any of us liked it. But he was the only one that could die for our sins. If I died, it means nothing. If I went to the cross, it would have meant nothing. Only Jesus, perfect, without sin. And so, yeah, he could say, it's not fair. I didn't commit sin. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm perfect. I'm part of you, God. But he volunteered because of love. I want you to go to 1859, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, 1859 in your pew Bibles. Chapter 3, verse 16. Here it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Because of love, Jesus came to this earth and died for us to pay for our sins. It wasn't his sins, it was our sins. In 1 John chapter 4, if you turn the page, look at verse 10. Well, we can back up to 9. It says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, we didn't even think twice about God in our sins. You know, we didn't really want any part of it. We were happy without God. But, you know, it's kind of like the road ends, big cliff, and you're driving along in your car with the radio going, your favorite song, driving to that cliff. I'm happy right now. You're going right to destruction. You know, God knew it. And so he made a way. And he sent Jesus. And Jesus came and he told us about God and about his love for us. He paid at a dear price. A young age, 33 years old, he died. We would all say, if we saw that, and many of the multitude saw that when they looked at Jesus on the cross, and they said, isn't it a shame? Prime of his life, and he died. For what? Because he thought he was the Messiah. Till the earth shook, and everything got dark, and the curtains split in two in the temple. Then they started changing their tune. Even the centurion said, oh, truly this must have been the Son of God. They realized it. But you know, it's so weird because we think God in the flesh, Jesus, you can do anything you want. You could have floated above the earth. You could have told everybody about salvation. You could have done it some other way. But there was no other way. There was only death. Only to be a sacrifice. Because that's the law. The law that was placed in stone. There must be a life given for the forgiveness of sin. And so Jesus willingly accepted that plan. The question for us, you know, is how does it relate to us? Well, first of all, you know, Jesus has offered us salvation. Are we willing to believe in Him, trust Him as our Savior, and accept that salvation? The other thing that it tells us, too, is are we willing to accept God's plan in our lives? You may not understand it all. You know, there's lots of times where I go through my life and I'm going, God, really? Is this the way it's going to be? I mean, I just don't understand. You know, and God doesn't ask us to understand. He told us in Scripture that in this world you're going to have tribulation and trials. You're going to have hardship and difficulty. The world's going to hate you because of His name. He tells us all those things right up front. You know, but we still look at the Lord and we say, why? Why is this happening to me? Maybe it's financial problems. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's, you know, a home situation. Maybe it's just a life situation. And you just look to the Lord and you wonder why. What is the purpose? What's going on? But are we willing, like Jesus, to say, Father, Your will be done, not mine. I'm willing to do whatever You want. I'm willing to go wherever You want. I will accept whatever You have for my life. Whether we believe that it's fair or not. You know, I remember, you know, Jonathan, a lot of teenagers, I've heard this a lot from parents, and Jonathan was no different. You know, where you do something disciplinary to them, and they say, it's not fair. I say, yeah, it isn't fair, but it's right. There was one time he got caught drinking. And they ticketed him. And I went to the school and I said, what do you want me to do? He said, well, he's got to go through counseling. He's got to do this. He's going to miss so many games in football and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, okay, let's sign us up, start it up. We'll get it going. And then he came home and he said, none of the other guys got ticketed. It's not fair. I said, you're right. It's not fair. But did you or did you not do the choice to drink? Well, yeah. So these are the consequences. I can't answer for anybody else. All I can answer is for you. Jesus, God, is saying, you know what? You might be going through consequences of your actions. You might be finding your way in a difficult situation because of your actions. It's not fair, but it's right. And even besides that, we're sinners. We have nothing to go before God and say, I deserve this. It's my right. God says, no, really, you deserve to die. Because that's what sin demands. But that's not fair. I didn't commit the sin, but it's in your genetics. Because of what Adam and Eve did. You know, so Jesus corrected the problem. Not fair for Him either. He went to the cross. He died to pay for our sin. We need a Savior. That's assured. We need a Savior. Fair or not. God did it. He provided it. And so we need a Savior. I want you to go one last scripture. 1732 in your pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll close it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand a miraculous sign, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." We've got to trust in God, not in our own wisdom. He's given us everything we need to have eternal life, free from the penalty of sin. But we've got to trust Him, because He's the one that knows. We aren't. I'd like us to close today with one last hymn. It's Near the Cross, 257. 257 in the hymn books. Let's all stand and we'll sing Near the Cross. First, second, and fourth verses. I guess, yeah, I'll be up on the